Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
Please don't tell me it's true. Dog toys leaking dangerous chemicals. Man, chemicals are all over the place. It affects us and every living creature. We know that. So researchers have found that BPA and other types of phthalates, these are ingredients in hard plastics, vinyl, they do leach from toys that, you know, dogs are using. Specifically, I think the research was on bumper toys for retrieving dogs. The new study is one of the first to examine dog products as a potential source of exposure for our pets. And my guest is Kimberly Wooten. She's a PhD student at Texas Tech, my home state there, whose focus is on endocrine disrupting chemicals in the environment. Kim, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
I think we got to put all this into context first and foremost. What is BPA and what are phthalates?
BPA is one chemical and phthalates are a family of chemicals. And we most often find these chemicals in different types of plastics. You may have heard about BPA in the news about things like water bottles, so for the most part, that's all been taken out. Phthalates show up a lot in PVC plastics, like shower curtains, to make them more flexible. And at least in laboratory settings, these chemicals have also been found to have endocrine-disrupting effects, so they interact with an animal's endocrine system. And we see a lot of reproductive effects, and some more recent studies have started to look at effects on metabolism as well.
So are these effects, you know, we talk a lot at Life Extension and on this show about what we call xenoestrogens, which are chemicals, toxins in the environment that mimic estrogen. Is that what these are doing? Are these xenoestrogens?
BPA is a xenoestrogen. Phthalates actually act as anti-androgens. So as opposed to a xenoestrogen, which acts in a positive way like estrogen would in the body, phthalates actually, to some extent, block the activity of normal androgens. Or at least that's how they're broadly classified.
Okay. So I know we're going to get into the pets here in a second, which is important to me because I'm a dog lover. I've always grown up with a dog. Right now I have a Border Collie mix, and she's just awesome. So this is important to me. But before we do that, let me just ask something about humans here. You mentioned with BPA phthalates that there are animal studies, some animal models. And I know, for instance, there's been a few rat models that have shown premature sex characteristic development and all kinds of maybe even thyroid issues. Is there any research in humans yet that's pointing to some of these same endocrine disruption properties? Or is it just animal models?
At this point, the human studies, there are some correlation studies that have started to be published looking at especially levels of phthalates and BPA in the blood of pregnant women and then maybe what happens in their offspring as far as development. Estrogens are very important in your neurobehavioral development, so some scores on different behavioral tests. But the big questions in humans right now is what kind of dose do we actually get from our environment? So it's very hard to say just at what dose, you know, these animal studies correspond to humans because there's many different sources of these chemicals. They don't last very long in our bodies, so it's hard to measure a very accurate dose and figure out what the risk to humans might be. But there's a lot of people working on those issues right now.
So let's turn to the pets then, and I'm sure my dog is listening right now. She's pretty smart. She probably could. Tell us about this study with the dogs and the toys. I guess this was done in retrieving dogs. Is that right?
So there were no actual dogs involved in our study. It started as more of a hypothetical situation. I have pet dogs. My advisor has done a lot of retriever training over the years, which is where a lot of the bumpers come in. And there hasn't been a lot of research done on pet health and exposure to these types of environmental chemicals in general. And this was the place we decided to start. So hypothetically, it makes sense that if you're chewing on something that's plastic and it might have these chemicals in there, that you could be exposed. So this study was the first step to say, is this actually happening? Are these chemicals actually coming out of some of these plastic products that are marketed for, you know, chewing, or in the case of bumpers, not so much chewing, but carrying around a lot in their mouths and breathing in our pets? So it was all done in the laboratory. We set up synthetic dog saliva. No actual dogs at this point.
Okay, so what you know, when you're looking at these kind of studies and stuff, are you measuring how long these chemicals are lasting in, say, in these animal models and extrapolating that to humans? Are you measuring a certain peak concentration? How do we decide, I guess, is the question I have, is how do we decide whether something is really being toxic to us?
all of that comes into play. This study, again, just addressed the one
above.
Question of, yeah, what concentrations come out into the saliva. That's step one. If you went forward from here to try to assess some kind of overall risk or what danger there might be, you would have to look at, well, then what kind of concentrations of these chemicals are actually in the body? What is being taken in and metabolized? Because dogs slobber all over the place. We don't know exactly what percentage of spit, you know, what percentage of these chemicals right. would actually even make it in there. And then okay. to try to look at, you know, some animal studies or whatever and see how these doses correspond. So there's a whole bunch of steps that go into deciding long-term if this is something we should be worried about or not.
Now listen, Kimberly, I know you're very, very bright because you're a PhD student, and I know that only the best and the brightest get into the Texas schools, right? So I know that you're at the forefront of all this. So I'm going to put you kind of on the spot. Give me your opinion. Is this something I should be really worried about with my dog and some of her toys that she has, some of those plastic toys, or is it just too early yet? What do you think?
I think it's too early yet. And in our study, we did look at both bumpers and toys, and overall, toys leached much lower concentrations of these chemicals than the bumpers did. So and we just bought toys at your average local pet store. So those are exactly the kind of toys that your dog or my dog would be using at home. So I think it's too early to say with these very low concentrations, what the risk might be. Especially because dogs use these toys every day for their whole life, and we don't really understand what chronic doses might be long term.
So, but it is a concern at this point. Now, did you say, Kimberly, you have dogs as well?
I do. Yes.
So is there anything now? Okay, so my dog loves to play with the toys and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe I need to look for BPA-free toys. I'm sure that's coming on the market. But what about helping them metabolize some of this stuff? You know, I did a lecture for Life Extension customers recently about helping the liver, just normal detox processes in the liver, milk thistle, B vitamin, stuff like that. Do you know of anything for pets that we could use or something that you use for your own dog?
I don't actually use anything like that for my dog. I know there's a big push lately. There's been many more food options and food varieties that with more focus on some of these vitamins. And these chemicals are generally metabolized fairly quickly in healthy animals. So if you have a healthy pet, these chemicals aren't sticking around in their body long term. It might be something that you should consider a little bit more, maybe if you have a sick animal or something, limiting their interactions just to be extra cautious. Okay. But at this point, it doesn't look like there's a giant red flag where you should have, you know, an immediate concerned reaction about any of this.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing exactly at Texas Tech and, you know, a great university. What are you actually studying there at the university?
I am a part of the Department of Environmental Toxicology, which encompasses a lot of different areas. We very broadly look at different chemicals in the environment and how that might affect human health or environmental health, or just quantifying where these chemicals are present. So I have done work both with the dog study we've talked about today, as well as some work with other endocrine disruptors in the environment from beef cattle feedlots. So just a matter of determining where these chemicals might be. Again, the first step towards figuring out if we should be concerned, what the problems might be, if there isn't a problem, which is always the best outcome for everybody in general.
So why do you think so many of these toxins we read about have these endocrine disrupting properties? Are they just mimicking some of these hormones and structures so they can bind to some of the receptors? And you got about 10 seconds to answer that. Sorry, Kim.
Yes, a lot of them bind to receptors like BPA. Some of them act through affecting how the body makes hormones, affecting how it processes hormones. There's a whole wide variety of ways that they can interact with our bodies.
Right. Well, Kim, thanks so much for coming on, and good luck with the rest of your PhD education there. I know you're well on your way to getting that. Texas Tech, love it. As I said, I went to UT Southwestern in Dallas. That was where I went to medical school. Austin is where I went to undergrad. Love Texas. Thanks for coming on.
Oh,
this is
you.
Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.